Mm-mm. Well, hey, if you'll take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119. We're beginning in verse 153 through 160. This section, again, in this overall picture or overall psalm that is just simply extolling the blessings of the Word of God and the glory of the Word of God. This one, this particular section, is one that's meaningful to me over these past 6 months, and it's been very, very helpful to me. It's been very helpful to Ainsley, not necessarily this particular passage, but the Word of God. Most of you know she's struggled with injury and getting through that, but God was faithful, and God, we kept sending her a lot of scriptures, and you guys kept sending a lot of encouraging scriptures and a lot of encouraging words, and it's those things that got her through. And she often talked about, and when she said thank you for the letters and the prayers that got her through, she honestly meant that, and I hope you heard her heart in that, and hear my heart as a dad, how much I appreciate that. Beginning in 153, it says, "Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. For they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and I loathe them, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." If I were going to title this section, it basically is talking about the fact that the Word of God restores and refreshes the soul. There are many times in my life that things have been difficult. And parents, you know how it is when you hear your child is hurt, long way away, nothing you can do about it. I'm sorry. But God's been faithful. And it wasn't just the Word of God that got Ainsley through. It's what got me and Randa through. It was your encouragement. It was knowing the fact that you were praying for her and that you were writing her and you were sending God's Word to her. And that got her through and it got us through. You don't know how much you ministered to me. By the way, you ministered to my child. And it's the Word of God that restores and refreshes in our worst times. Too often, when times get bad and times get tough, we run from God. And we give up on God. And that was the thing that a fellow Army parent told me. He said, "Neil, Army life and the struggles and the injuries and the hurts and the hardships going to do one of two things to a believer. It's going to cause them to run to God or run from God." And I'm so thankful that Ainsley ran to him. But it was because of your prayers and your encouragement and your lifting her up. And it was the thing that sustained us, that helped us get through without worry and without just being overcome with anxiousness because of her situation and her struggle. Many of you have gone through times with your own children, and you've had a church family praying for you. You've had people encouraging you with Scripture. So you know what it means that the Word of God restores and refreshes, that the Word of God gives us strength and encouragement. And that's one of the most beautiful things about the body of Christ and the family, having a church family. That's why God didn't save us to be Lone Ranger Christians. He saved us to be a part of a family, a part of a body that will help us, will encourage us, will carry us, will call us back to the Word of God and remind us of the truths when our anxiety and our anxiousness tends to get the best of us. So he's writing, he says, he's asking again, he's crying out to the Lord, look upon my affliction and rescue me. He's in a hopeless and a helpless situation. He's at his wit's end. He is in a place where he's got no control over who's trying to tear him down and what they're doing. So he cries out to the one who he knows is in control. And he says, don't forget me, O God. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Now, again, he's not bargaining with God. He's saying, God, I'm coming to you because your word says come to you. I'm coming to you because your word says you're faithful. I'm coming to you because your word has given me encouragement and promises and has revealed your word to me. So I'm coming to you. I don't forget your law. I'm not trying to fix this problem on my own. I'm trusting you. It says, plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Quicken me. Bring back joy according to your word. Don't let me flounder in my struggle, in my anxiety. Don't let me flounder in my depression. God, revive me according to your word. Not according to my goodness, not according to, even though I've kept your law and hadn't forgotten it. God, I can't even hold that up as a bargaining chip. God, I just need you to do it according to your word because you're faithful. The salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. He says, God, I know what side I'm on. There's a line of demarcation. There's those that are with God and those that are against God, those that are under God's authority and those that are in rebellion. There's always been two groups of people. There's those that love the Lord and submit to the Lord and those who rebel against the Lord and try to live life under their own authority in their own way. And he's saying, look, they're not, salvation is far from them, for they don't seek your statutes. God, they don't care about you. They're not submitting themselves to your authority. I am. So God, I am under your care. So I'm calling for your care to rescue. I'm calling for your strength. I'm trusting in you. Revive me according to your ordinances. God, revive me according to your word. Revive me. Three times in this passage, he asked God to revive him, to quicken his spirit, to quicken his heart, to bring back the joy of his salvation, basically. It says, many are my persecutors and my adversaries. It's not just one. It's a whole group of people. Probably not just one group, but a whole lot of adversaries and persecutors. Yet, I'm not focusing on them. Yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I'm still trusting in your word, God. They're numerous, but I'm looking to the one who is able to rescue and to revive. I behold the treacherous, and I loathe them. Basically, and literally, that means I feel disgust for them. There's nothing about the wicked. There's nothing about the treacherous. There's nothing about the rebellious that I envy. I'm not looking to be like them. I don't want anything they have. I want what you have for me, Lord. He says, I'm continuing to seek after you. I don't turn from your testimonies. He says, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Again, there's three times he's asking to revive him, to quicken him, and it's all according to God's word. He says, beginning in verse 154, revive me according to your word. Then he says, revive me according to your ordinances. And then he appeals to God's loving kindness. God, consider how I love your precepts, but I know that's not even enough. God, I want you to act according to your loving kindnesses. Even my righteousness is as filthy rags. Even on my best day, I'm not worthy of your rescue. I'm not worthy of your time. I'm not worthy of your attention. But God, according to your loving kindness, revive me. According to your loving kindness, act on my behalf. God, according to your loving kindness, carry me through. God, according to your loving kindness, restore, refresh my soul in the midst of this trouble. And then he makes the statement, why is it according to God's word? Why is he running to God's word? Why is he clinging to the testimonies of God in such a difficult time when it seems like God's not acting, when it seems like God's not showing up, when it seems like God's not paying attention? Remember, this has been going on for a while. Why is he still holding on to God's word? Why is he still trusting it? Very simple. He sums it up in verse 160. The sum of your word is truth. Not all of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. God, your word is truth. And since it's truth, it never changes. It's everlasting. There's no such thing as, well, that was for then and this is for now. The times have changed. We've evolved. And so truth has to evolve. No, truth is truth. Or it's not truth. If it's different today than it was yesterday, then it wasn't true yesterday. And so he's clinging to the Word of God. He's clinging to the precepts of God. He's clinging to the hope of God because everything about God's Word is true. And because it's true, it will not change and God will be faithful to it. Man, there are times in our lives when it seems like life and circumstances are overwhelming. When things outside of our control can beat us down, wear us out, and cause us to be a babbling mess, kind of like I've been tonight. But God's faithful. And God's word is true. And God will honor his word if we will just cling to it and don't give up. And that's why we need to constantly encourage each other in the Word of God. Constantly remind each other of the truths of God's Word. Because this world, man, it's an ugly place. It's a hard place. It's a scary place. But we know the one who is in charge of it all. And we need to constantly remind each other that He is faithful. Cling to His Word. Cling to Him. Let that revive our spirit and get us through. All right? Let's pray. God, this is such a good night. In more ways than one. It's good to be with family. It's good to sing praises to You. It's good to spend time talking with groups and individuals and God just reminding each other of Your faithfulness and Your goodness. It's great to open Your Word together. It's a great night because Ainsley was able to call and able to express her thanks to this church who's been so supportive. And God, it's a good night because we can see the end of this six-month ordeal. And it's good for a dad's heart to be encouraged by a church family, to be held up by a church family, to be encouraged as they minister to my child and my children and my wife. And God, I pray that we can do that for each other, God, not just for the pastor. God, I see them doing it every day, all day, with one another. And God, I'm so thankful for that. But it's all because of Your Word and Your faithfulness to it. So Lord, I ask on behalf of those that are hurting tonight, on behalf of those that are struggling with different things, God, revive them according to your word. Remind them of your word. Let them run to you in your word. And let us bathe them in your word and in prayer and encouragement. God, you're good. You always do good. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.